Kaffee in seiner besten Form. Mit Cubo wird jeder Kaffee auf Knopfdruck zum Genussmoment. Denn mit der neuen Cubo One Kapselmaschine von Chibo genießt du feinsten Spitzenkaffee aus besonderen Anbaugebieten. Vollmundige Aromen dank innovativer Press-Brew-Technologie und über 17 Sorten Kaffee für jeden Geschmack. Erlebe Premium-Kaffee schon ab 29 Euro. Entdecke jetzt die Cubo Kapselmaschinen in deiner Chibo-Filiale und auf chibo.de.
Stu does America.
Welcome to the program. YouTube.com/Stu does America. Get all the stuff that we do right there. It's good. You'll like it. Follow the show. Hit the bell for notifications. Do all the things. We'd appreciate it. Jennifer Say is going to be here to explain how she's working to save the world of women's sports. Hunter Biden's gun trial defense is crumbling. We'll look at the latest. But we're going to start by doing Biden's border order. Border order. It's fun to say. Biden's border order. And I wanted to look at this because, gee willikers, it doesn't seem like it's being reported accurately. Biden's long-awaited southern border measure draws fire from all sides. And we know what this is, right? What is Biden trying to do here? He's trying to do some, he doesn't care about the border, obviously. He's never cared about the border. And now all of a sudden we're oddly accepted to think that this guy's just a hawk. All he wants to do is shut the border down. And people on the left are coming after him. The ACLU is supposedly going to sue him because he's making these restrictions. And that is kind of what he wants. Like, Biden wants the ACLU to sue him. He wants people to think he's being tough on the border. That's the desire here. He's not actually doing it, as we're going to show you here momentarily. This has been pitched as a border shutdown. We're told over and over again, this is a border shutdown. This is an executive order, which he said himself he couldn't do for a long time, and then suddenly came around to the idea that he could do, shockingly. None of this makes, of course, any sense whatsoever. But is it a tough border policy? Well, let's look at the details. I want to start you with the Start Here podcast. This is from ABC News. And Alejandro Mayorkas, Greek yogurt himself, was there to pitch the border policy to Start Here and ABC News. And I want to start with the details here. Listen, you have to listen to every word Mayorkas says, okay? If you're thinking this is a border shutdown, they won't let anybody across the border for asylum claims anymore. Remember that whole thing? Listen closely and let's pick this apart.
It will be in effect immediately. And what it provides is that individuals encountered in between the ports of entry at our southern border will be barred from seeking asylum.
This is one of the first questions I had when all of this started up. The wording there is interesting. A border shutdown, what does that mean to you? Like, it means people don't cross the border with BS asylum claims, right? Like, that's what it means to me. What does it mean to you? What does it mean to Biden? Because what it seems to mean to Biden is encapsulated in one specific phrase in that clip. What it provides is that individuals encountered in between the ports of entry at our southern border will be barred. So they're not limiting the people that come to the ports of entry. Very specifically, he said that. In other words, if you come to one of the ports of entry, everything goes on as normal. There's no change whatsoever. What they're saying is don't go in between the ports of entry. Okay, well, that's a pretty big asterisk, but okay, is it still a tough border policy? I'm interested, though, in what exactly occurs here. What happens to the immigrants if they don't go in between these ports of entry? Listen to this again. For a border shutdown, it's not exactly what I would say is a border shutdown. Let's put it that way. This is another clip from Mayorkas on Start Here.
The way in which they can seek asylum now with this order in effect is by using the CBP One app and making an appointment to arrive at a port of entry in a safe and orderly way, or accessing one of our many other lawful pathways that we have established for people to receive humanitarian relief without placing their lives in the hands of smugglers.
That's interesting. So they're not, it's not a border shutdown. It's a redirection to the app. Okay, so it's not a border shutdown at all. They're just saying go to the app and make an appointment. Or
you can access any one of our many other lawful pathways. Okay. I mean, I guess this is the thing. Like, are you being tough on the border if you just convert all illegal immigrants into legal immigrants and then say we've stopped all illegal immigration? I don't think so. I don't think that's how this is supposed to work. And I guess you would say, okay, look, this is really what they're doing here. They're going to stop people from coming in between the ports. They just want to make this more orderly. Now, that's totally different than the way this is being pitched. But OK, you can see how there would be some benefit to that. Right. Everyone comes through some sort of front door. OK, we're going to argue quite a bit on maybe the details there. But my guess, my question would be, does this mean that everyone who doesn't come through the front door, everyone who doesn't come to a designated port of entry, are those people turned away? Well, you'll be surprised to hear, of course, the answer to that question is no.
So if those lawful pathways are not used and people arrive at our southern border, they will, in between the ports of entry, they will be barred from asylum. If the number of people we encounter averages for seven consecutive calendar days less than 1,500, then we will lift this bar. And we have the right to reinstitute the bar if the numbers average 2,500 people encountered a day for seven consecutive days.
First of all, the way he talks, he just sounds like an idiot. I don't know if he is an idiot, but he sounds like he's talking to us like this. 2,500 a day for seven consecutive days. Then we, I just can't, I don't, there's something about it. Plus his name sounds like a Greek yogurt, which I've covered many times. I don't need to cover that one again. That's just a Mayorkas. Zero, you know, zero fat, 15 grams of protein per serving. I don't know what it is, but it just sounds like a Greek yogurt to me. Okay, so that is kind of a bit asterisk. And this is maybe, if you've listened to some conservative media, maybe the one thing you've heard about this policy, which they are going to still allow up to 2,500 people a day. Now, that doesn't sound like a border shutdown to me. 2,500 people a day works out to 912,500 people per year. That's a lot of people coming across the border. And of course, that doesn't include the people who are coming across the border at the actual ports, which we've already discussed, which looks like about a million people per year. Plus, that doesn't include the amount of people that aren't caught at all. So you have a massive amount of people coming across this closed border, which is really fascinating. Now, I will say, of course, the idea that it's going to stay exactly at 2,500 or less, or 2,499, so it doesn't tick this thing, this little border shutdown measure on, is ridiculous. Like, it wouldn't be able to keep it exactly at that level. You could argue maybe this is better than nothing, right? Maybe it's better than what it is right now. You could make that argument. But it's important to understand what they're doing here. And you have to listen closely, because this is a question I've had many, many times since the beginning of this. And I've heard multiple officials catch themselves saying this. The way that the policy is being outlined is if it hits 2,500 a day for 7 days, this border shutdown thing will click on and no one who goes in between ports will be able to get across the border, right? That's what it's been saying. This border shutdown kicks on when you get to 2,500, right? You've heard that a million times. Listen to him catch himself here, though. He starts saying, if it hits 2,500, we will shut it down. Listen to how he catches himself in this clip.
If it's below 1,500 for seven consecutive days, we will reopen 14 days after the seventh day. If the numbers climb back up for seven consecutive days to an average of 2,500 or more, we will reinstitute, we can reinstitute this asylum bar.
Oh, wait, what was that? We will institute, we can institute this asylum bar. So what they have now given themselves is the option to actually implement this policy. What do you think happens in November? Do you think they might find the option to not implement this policy? This is what they've been doing. If it hits 2,500, we'll shut the border down. No, if it hits 2,500, they can shut the border down. Do you think the second after the election, they're going to find that political will? I mean, they're doing this intentionally. He's not the only person who's done that exact thing. The only reason I noticed it is because they kept adding these disclaimers. It's like, oh, well, yeah, we at 2,500, we have the option. We have the right. Another way they put it is we have the right to shut the border down. Well, that's totally different than a policy that actually does it. Now we're depending on Joe Biden's whims. And I might remind you, he's had this power his entire presidency and hasn't found the whim to do it. In fact, the only whim he found, the only energy he found, was to shut down the Trump policies that were doing some of these things. In fact, a lot more. So the only thing he's been able to do is open up the border. And we're supposed to believe that come mid-November-ish, this isn't going to totally turn around. Of course, that is what is going to happen. Now, remember, this is a mainstream media podcast, ABC's Start Here podcast. And what's interesting about this interview with Mayorkas is he's being pressed from the left here. He's being pressed from someone who wants the border open, who is saying, hey, well, what about these complaints? How come you're limiting these immigrants? And you find so many interesting things when you listen to the interviews they do with the left or the mainstream media, because they're pleasing a different audience. They're not trying to please you. They're trying to please people who want the border completely open and think this very minor limitation is far, far too much. With that being set up, you have to understand that they're limiting the in-between parts of this, in between the ports. But listen to the other justification here. He says, yeah, sure, we're limiting, but we're also only doing that because we've already expanded it so much. Listen to this.
When's the last time that this country averaged 1,500 crossings a day like that?
It has been quite some time, but then again,
like you haven't been secretary while it's been that low, I believe, right? It's never been that low.
That is correct. But, Brad, what we have done over the past 3 years is build lawful pathways.
Oh.
And, in fact, more than a million people have accessed those lawful pathways in the past year.
All right.
So asylum is very much still alive.
Right. So they just converted a bunch of illegal immigrants into legal immigrants by changing the laws, changing the rules. That's a million people that he just talked about crossing the border. This is him with his crazy shutdown idea. A million more. Couple more clips here for you. This is, if you think this is the end of this story, well, no, it's not the end of the story. If you think it's just that group and that group and those exceptions and that exceptions, no, there's even more exceptions that are built into this border shutdown.
The reality is that desperate parents are sending their unaccompanied children now. And we felt that it was the correct humanitarian thing to do, adhering to our values, to exclude unaccompanied children from operation of this rule.
Oh, okay.
There are other exceptions as well.
Oh.
For example, somebody with an emergent acute medical condition.
Wait.
Somebody who's suffered a severe form of trafficking.
Okay.
These are humanitarian measures that we have taken.
Now, let me attempt to walk through what this border shutdown is, because this is fascinating. And if anybody's getting fooled by this, please set them straight. Send them this video. Please set them straight on this. So what we're talking about is a limitation, not of asylum, not of illegal immigration, but of those trying to get asylum that show up in between two official ports of entry. That's the only limitation we're talking about here. Even with that limitation, they can still allow up to 912,500 people in between ports, plus the over 1 million people per year that show up at the ports or go through the app or other quote unquote legal pathways, plus all the times they choose not to enforce the limits in between the ports, which they can do at literally any time based on Joe Biden's whim. So all of those people have to be included. Then you also have to add plus unaccompanied children, which of course will be sent en masse because if they know these rules, if they're telling them to us, the illegal immigrants know them as well. So unaccompanied children, plus victims of trafficking, plus people who are really sick. Like I thought I mean, we just went through a pandemic. My belief was when people showed up at the border that were really sick, we didn't let them in. No, they're an exception and must be let in if they have an acute medical condition. Plus, the million, 2 million, 3 million, 10 million, 1 billion, who knows what the number is, of people we're not actually catching at the border. That is the Biden border order in a nutshell. It is not a shutdown. It is barely a restriction, and that restriction can be limited and removed completely at the whim of a president who intentionally didn't enforce it for 3.5 years. If you believe this, you'll believe anything. I want to tell you why it's important to have a Jace case. Nobody who looks at our economy for more than a minute or two thinks it's getting any better. Inflation is still really high. It could easily get higher soon. This has a spiraling effect on the economy, on people being able to pay their expenses. They're falling further and further behind. Why not prepare yourself? Consumer sentiment is at its lowest level in half a year. We look around, we see what's going on. So we have an overrun healthcare system when things are good. What happens when they're turning down, when we're in a downturn in the economy? We saw it during COVID, right? Like, you couldn't get the medications you needed. We still have over 200 medications that are limited. If you've never had this experience, you're lucky, because most people have. The Jace case is a personalized emergency kit that contains essential antibiotics and medications that treat the most common and deadly bacterial infections. It provides 5 life-saving antibiotics for emergency use. I had was sick a few weeks ago, and they prescribed antibiotics. And I thought to myself, I hope they're actually in the pharmacy. The good thing is I didn't have to worry whether they were there or not, because you had the Jace case. You're already set up. Protect yourself against all that can happen, really, because you might prepare with water, you might prepare with food, you might have certain things that you think make you prepared, but if you don't have the medications you need, you are not prepared. Go to Jace.com and enter the code STU for a checkout, for a discount at your order. The promo code is STU at Jace.com. Jace.com, Jace.com. It's the Jace case from Jace Medical. Go there, get one now. The promo code is STU at Jace.com.
Meditieren, Yoga, Joggen, nichts entspannt mich.
Echt? Mich entspannt meine Steuer total.
Steuer? Wie Finanzamt? Die Steuererklärung?
Ja, ich habe ganz locker über 1000 Euro zurückbekommen.
Hast du geheime Connections?
Nö, nur die Wieso-Steuer-App.
Wow, und das ist einfach?
Klar, die macht fast alles automatisch.
Plötzlich fühle ich mich so entspannt.
Hol dir dein Geld zurück. Tiefenentspannt mit Wieso-Steuer.
I'm happy to welcome Jennifer Say into the studio. She is the former global brand president for Levi's and the founder and CEO of XXXY Athletics. We're going to get into that here in a minute. Jennifer, thanks so much for coming back on.
Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, I love having you on. It's been fascinating to watch sort of the landscape over the past few months. We were talking a little bit off the air about Caitlin Clark. She's made this huge splash. She goes in the WNBA. I mean, this is a league that's been dying for relevance since its inception. It finally has this relevance. People really want to watch. I mean, I never watch the WNBA. I'll turn on a Caitlin Clark game, no problem. I love watching her play. And yet, it seems like the entire attitude of the WNBA is to get angry at her for, I guess, because she's too good. Like, I don't know if it's jealousy. What's causing all this?
I don't know. It just feels to me like the left is becoming so atomized that it's like turning on itself. Mm. She wasn't the right player to draw attention to the WNBA because she's white and has, who said pretty privilege? Somebody.
Pretty privilege.
White and pretty privilege. And so here they are. They've got the attention. They were just desperate for the last few decades. You have this amazing player who's super fun to watch with her three-pointers and her crazy athleticism, and yet the other players in the league and the left sort of fans out, the fans, that it's not good enough. It had to be somebody else.
Right.
It's really unfortunate. You know, she's a really incredible player. Maybe they'll move through it. She's super fun to watch. Little girls are lined up to get their picture taken with her. Bask in it. She's bringing attention. It's probably going to be the tide that lifts all boats. They're going to get fans. Everybody will make more money. Not good enough.
It's never good enough. And it seems like this is a situation that's all over society, right? Like, especially on the left. The groups that have aligned on the left don't necessarily make sense right now. We were talking a little bit about this incident in Philadelphia. This is going to happen more and more, right? Can you walk people through this?
Yeah. Philadelphia, my hometown, which is maybe why I paid some attention to it. At the Gay Pride Parade a few days ago, there was a face-off between the Hamas caucus, as some are calling them, the pro-Palestine caucus, and, the Pride marchers. And they were just like this, screaming at each other. And that is not a group that would typically be aligned, given how gay folks would be treated in Palestine, either imprisoned or killed. That became quite clear here at this parade, although it's interesting because in the last however many months, with all of the protests around the Middle East, you have seen all these signs, Queers for Palestine, which just shows, I think, the depth of ignorance in terms of the protesters that are, marching around on behalf of Palestine and Hamas.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like this stuff is going to get worse, I think, before it gets better. And part of the reason, let me test this theory on you. Part of the reason is you have a situation where we sort of have lost basic foundations, right? Like basic agreement on truth. I mean, we were talking about women's sports. A pretty obvious example is men shouldn't be playing them, right? Like that was something that was really easy. Like we have challenging things in our world, difficult scientific questions, how to cure cancer, all these amazing things. But we can't, all of a sudden we're like, I forgot which one's a man and which one's a woman. Like that, when you lose that foundation, strange things seem to happen.
It's totally destabilizing. And that's why this issue around males competing in women's sports, for me, is the paramount issue of defining what truth is and why it matters. And it's so much bigger than sports. Because if we can't all agree that sex is not, in fact, a spectrum, but is binary, if they can get us to say that sex is a spectrum, they can get us to say anything.
Yeah.
It's completely destabilizing. And so, you're right. And truth is sort of upended. We can no longer agree that a terrorist organization is not a freedom fighting organization.
Yeah.
We can't agree that women are different than men biologically and deserve their own sports and spaces. And we were right in 1972 when we legislated Title IX. Mm. We can no longer agree that it is not okay to shut down schools and small businesses. It is utterly illiberal, no matter what. That's not okay. That is not in step with American values.
Yeah.
So we can't really agree on these really basic things, but the issue about the sex binary to me is just mind-blowing because it seems to me the most fundamental truth that we should all be able to agree on.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I was thinking about the Hamas thing a little bit in that, like, if it is an internationally known, documented terrorist group, but if they popped into existence today, I don't know that they would be named one. I think it's only because it's been in our history. They haven't had the guts to overturn it or whatever. But like, I don't think it would be. I think people would argue that they're, we've seen these protesters make these crazy arguments. Let me talk more about the women's sports thing here, because you wrote a piece. I was reading a piece of yours in The Hill. This is from a couple months ago. But you're talking about the arguments for having trans people cross these lines in sports. And one of them, and it strikes me that they're sort of at odds with each other, but one of the main arguments you point out is it's the name of kindness, right? Like, we have to allow these things to happen. And on the other side, it is just, well, there's so few of them that it doesn't really matter. Now, either, it's one or the other, I think, here, because if you kind of draw this to a natural conclusion, we see these numbers increasing seemingly every year of people who are identifying this way. Well, what if it is 50% of men who identify this way? Would it still be kindness? Or would it still not matter? Like, it seems like they're just making arguments, whatever kind of floats in front of them at that particular moment.
Yeah, I mean, it's along the lines of, it's not happening. Okay, maybe it's happening, but it's good that it's happening.
Right.
We hear that all the time, right? I think any instance of unfairness or a lack of safety for women competing in contact sports, combat sports, any instance of that is not okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't care how many. It's not fair. And it's a denial of truth and reality. That said, it's a lot. In just the last few years, there's over 600 instances of males taking medals, team berths, endorsements, scholarship opportunities from women. And that just keeps accelerating. I mean, just in the last few weeks, we've seen two high-profile instances in the Pacific Northwest, one in Oregon and one in Washington, of males competing in women's track and field in high school and winning, one of whom admits he never trained before, never competed before.
Wow.
And another went from being very low-ranking in the male division to number one in the female division. No humility. Up on the award stand screaming, I'm number one, which is not a good way to behave regardless.
Regardless, yeah.
But in this particular instance, I find it particularly egregious. And now he's out in the press moaning that no one's accepting his win. So it just keeps accelerating. It's not fair. There's actually instances of young women being hurt in volleyball, in MMA fighting. That one's really old. In basketball, it's not safe. It's not safe and it's not fair. It's that simple. I don't care what excuse you come back to me with, I'm still going to say no. And I think we have to band together, former athletes, current athletes, parents, and just say enough.
It strikes me there's two different forces working in this arena right now, one of which is a rise of common sense. Like, I think that there are people who are not only conservatives or libertarians, but people in the middle, some people on the left, who are just rising up and saying, okay, this is nuts. Like, I do feel like that's a real thing. Please tell me I'm right on that.
I think you're right. Okay. It's like, okay, you've gone too far.
Yeah.
Yes. I was going to go along with that,
right.
But I'm not going to go along with this. You know, I'm not going to go along with the idea that you're making me say, you're telling me I have to say, trans women are women. Mm-hmm. I'll accept that there are some people who feel misaligned and feel
sure.
better presenting as the opposite sex. I was always fine with that. I'm not fine with saying trans women are women. It's
yeah.
exactly the same. That's where people are like, yeah, no.
Because you're bringing us in on this, right? Like, it's one thing for you to have a situation that, you know, you're having issues, right? Like, everyone's got them, right? But you're now forcing the rest of society to embrace your issues, and I think that's part of it. But so you have this one side where I do feel like there's like a rising up of common sense. But on the other side, we have things going on like the Title IX rewrites, where now the government is taking the, what I would argue, the insane side of this and locking it in as government policy. I mean, you saw this get rewritten. What did you think?
Yeah, I think it's about 6 weeks ago at this point, the Department of Ed released a rewrite of Title IX, essentially. And it's important to note that Title IX is more than sports. It was about equal opportunity for girls and women within the educational system. So, but for all of its well-known aspects, it's
sure.
best known for the sports mm-hmm. piece of it. So essentially, the Department of Ed smuggled in a rewrite, which they're not supposed to do. It should be legislated if it's a significant rewrite, that basically switches out sex. And that's the point of Title IX, to mm-hmm. protect sex-based rights.
Right, right.
It switches that out for gender identity. So basically,
that's a massive difference.
It's a huge difference. So basically, if you say you're a male, or I apologize, if you are a male and you say you're a female, you must be permitted to compete in women's sports, enter women's spaces, be a member of women's clubs like sororities. It completely undermines and erases the real true meaning of Title IX. And on top of all that, if the team says no, women say no, the university says no, they can be charged with harassment and lose their federal funding. If you are then charged with harassment, you don't even get a fair trial. You get one person, there's no due process within the educational system now. You get one person who gets to decide your fate.
And that part of it, the kangaroo court aspect of it has been an issue for a while. And again, it comes back to this weird fork where like we just had this like Me Too movement, right? Where a lot of really good things happened. At times, like, we're worried that there's enough evidence on some of
yeah.
them. There's definitely a wide spectrum. Some really good things came out of that, some maybe not so good things. But the same people who are making the arguments that like an off-color joke in the office is a Me Too violation are arguing for men to change with college girls in the locker room. Like,
that's what's
it's
crazy.
Bonkers.
Yeah, that's what's crazy to me is, I mean, for all of its excesses, and I think it did sort of jump the shark,
yeah,
maybe 2020-ish, I'm not sure the timing.
Seems like a lot of things happened.
But there were there were really great things that happened during Me Too. And, you know, in my sport of gymnastics, I think it inspired a ton of girls and women to come forward and speak about the abuse in the sport.
Yeah.
And it's why, and to some extent, Larry Nassar is now in prison for life. That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, now you're supposed to just accept having to change with a male in the locker room. And if you're somebody like Paula Scanlon, a former swimmer at University of Pennsylvania, and you complain about this, she's a sexual assault survivor. She was uncomfortable changing in the locker room with Will Thomas fully intact. The school told her, you need psychological help. You need counseling. If you talk about this, you will never get a job. That's how she was treated.
Amazing. And I will say, that's the most delicate way to put that, fully intact. I think that's much better than the other terms I've
used.
Yeah,
Paula uses that one. I think Riley does as well, so I kind of adopted
it.
It's better than having to say some of the other stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Do you have a second to hang on for another
segment?
Okay, all right, let me come back. Jennifer Say, former global brand president for Levi's, founder and CEO of XXXY Athletics. We'll be back in just a second. You know, there's so many big news stories out there, and a lot of times you just think like they'd rather talk about anything else than what's really going on. And, you know, a lot of people are going to, you know, talk about all these little tiny things when the big stories are kind of past the headlines. The bottom line is no matter what is coming, you should be prepared. And one of the things we talk about a lot is being prepared for whatever might come around the bend with My Patriot Supply. Since 2008, My Patriot Supply has helped millions of Americans get ready for the worst. Today, their best-selling three-month emergency food kits are flying off the shelves. You can get one right now at preparewithstew.com. It's a food kit, offers 2,000 calories of food every day. God forbid something happens, whether it's a natural disaster, a terrorist attack, who knows? Be prepared. Have food around just in case. Ultra durable four-layer packaging, and it lasts up to 25 years in storage. And that's one of my favorite parts about it, is that you don't have to think about this again. You just do it once, and then it's over. I got one 7 or 8 years ago, and I have not thought about it since, because I've got it in case I need it. Order all the kits you need for $200 off each. This is free shipping included as well. You've been warned about what can happen. Don't live in fear. Take back control of your future with preparewithstew.com and My Patriot Supply. It's preparewithstew.com. Check it out now, preparewithstew.com.
Bezahlen läuft für dich sowieso nur mit dem Handy? Dann hol dir doch was von deiner Kohle zurück. Denn in allen Restaurants und Bars gibt's jetzt 5% Cashback, wenn du mit PayPal zahlst. Tap dir mehr mit PayPal. Alle Infos gibt's auf paypal.de. 5% Cashback nur auf Einkäufe vor Ort in Restaurants und Bars in Deutschland bei kontaktloser Zahlung mit PayPal. Gültig vom 2. Juni bis 19. Juli 2026 für die ersten 850.000 berechtigten Kunden. Maximal 15 Euro Cashback pro Konto. Es gelten Bedingungen auf paypal.de.
You remember Jennifer Say? She was a bigwig over at Levi's, had the unmitigated gall to say kids should actually go to school during COVID. I can't believe he did such a thing. Now she is the CEO, founder of XXXY Athletics. This is a really cool project. Can you talk about it for a second?
Yeah, you know, I left Levi's back in 2022. I started consulting, and I have been working on a film, which I think we'll talk about in a sec. But I was interviewing too, and as I started interviewing at large companies, I just was really disappointed and got the feeling that I would never be able to be myself, speak in my voice, you know, advocate for the things that I care about if I were to take a job as a CEO of a very large company.
Sure.
I mean, I was asked point blank, do you regret your actions? Are you willing to apologize? And I was like, no, I was right. Why would I do that? So I decided, you know what, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to start something myself. And I looked around at all the athletic brands that claim to champion women and do nothing of the sort and have refused to weigh in on what I think is really fundamental if you're going to champion women athletes, which is we need to protect women's sports. And I thought, who better than me to start a brand like this, given my athletic background as an elite gymnast, my brand building experience, and my willingness to say true but, you know, perhaps controversial things. So, so we launched about 2 months ago. It's called XXXY Athletics. We're the only athletic brand that stands up for the protection of women's sports and spaces and female athletes, and it's going well. I mean, I never wanted to be a founder, but I'm having the time of my life.
Isn't it incredible that you can make that statement accurately? You're the only athletic brands standing up for women's right, women's spaces, women's safety, women's, you know, opportunity for competition. I mean, that should be very common.
It should be, but all these brands, I'll mention Nike in particular, the behemoth in the category. They pretend to champion women and they do nothing of the sort. And Nike is really notorious, in fact, for treating actual women with total disregard, whether it's their own employees. They very publicly, there have been pieces printed in the New York Times on the front page about how horribly they treat women inside the company, sexual harassment, et cetera. Runners in their former Oregon Nike running project were abused physically and emotionally, and their endorsers, Allison Felix, has written about this quite publicly also in the New York Times, denied maternity protection. So they treat women like garbage. You know, I interviewed there and had an awful experience in 2011. And so it's not really surprising that they're not going to take a stand here. They want all the sort of credit for standing up and championing women during Women's History Month. But in reality, it's just not the case. So the hypocrisy is so glaring that I felt like there's an opportunity. And as you alluded to before, 70% of Americans agree with us on this issue.
Yes. I keep forgetting that.
70%.
It's easy to forget.
That includes a lot of Democrats.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, every time I wear, this T-shirt or a different T-shirt from the brand and I go to the soccer game on the weekend, people lean in and they say, I agree with you.
Yeah.
But they're too scared to say it because you do get called a lot of names.
Yeah.
But I think we can coax them out of the shadows.
Yes, I think so, too. So first of all, tell me where to get this so when I need to buy a present for my wife, I know where I'm going.
Yeah. You go to thetruthfits.com. Okay. That's like our fun little vanity URL that people can remember. And I want to say, not sure when this is airing, but June 7th, we have a dramatically expanded product line. So you're going to see all the performance wear, leggings and moisture-wicking fabrics and bike shorts, the stuff you want to work out in for both women and men.
So that's tomorrow. Yeah, so this is, I got you at a good time. This is a big announcement.
Yeah,
big stuff coming.
Yeah, okay. We're super excited. We've launched with 100% cotton products, so casual items, graphic tees, sweats, that kind of thing. But now is really the real launch.
Oh, very exciting. Okay, tomorrow, make sure to go to thetruthfits.com.
Yeah.
All right, so make sure to check that out. And also, before you go, I mean, we've had all this, I mentioned the COVID thing. That was kind of how we first became in contact with you. We had the Fauci testimony this week. We have everyone kind of like trying to now figure out what's going to happen to the next pandemic. What are we going to do? I mean, when you look at all this, what do you want out of this? Do you want just accountability for the individuals? Do you want what I keep thinking about is bright lines to make sure we don't make the same mistakes if, God forbid, something like this happens again? What do you want out of this?
I agree with that. Bright lines. And I want accountability. There's acknowledgement that much of what was done was ineffective and even harmful when it comes to school closures, for instance.
Sure.
But there's this sort of passive voice in talking about it all, like COVID did it. No, people did it. Mm. Individuals did it who should have known better, who made up the 6-foot rule and toddler masking. That's what we're hearing now from Fauci, was all made up. And they demonized anyone who questioned in the process and said, I am the science, that Fauci famously said, you are the bad people who want to kill everybody. So despite the fact that there's acknowledgement, there's no accountability. And I fear that until we have that, we will repeat the same mistakes. And one of the things I find alarming is closed schools are in the mix for everything now, for cold, for heat, for migrants, for eclipses. Seriously?
That's true. The eclipse one was strange. It's like, we're just going to take the day off and look at the sun.
I mean, it's not okay. It deprioritizes our kids' education. It makes it the least important thing. And we're seeing the repercussions of that. Chronic absenteeism is at an all-time high. It's more than double than before COVID. Mm-hmm. The most vulnerable kids are suffering the most. It's a real disaster.
How does it feel for you personally that, like, you had this, massive job and you went through this entire thing arguing, basically, like, let our kids go back to school? And now you see, like, in places like the New York Times, well, everyone agrees that kids shouldn't have been taken home from school. And Randy Weingarten's like, oh, well, of course we were arguing to open up schools. Like, gaslighting doesn't even begin to start to cover it for you.
Yeah, I mean, the audacity of people like Randy Weingarten, Fauci, Rochelle Walensky, everyone arguing and saying, we wanted schools to open all along. Mm-hmm. Really? then why were the rest of us demonized? If you wanted it, then I should be in good standing with everyone.
Yeah.
So it's really shocking to me, the audacity and the willingness to just lie in that fashion.
And you're still being asked, you know, in interviews to apologize for it. Like, after everyone's acknowledged what you said was right, like, you're in a job interview and they're still asking you to apologize.
Well, the general vibes I get, I don't know about you, mm-hmm. is, well, we may have been wrong, but we were wrong for the right reasons,
right.
and so
mm-hmm.
we're the good people.
Right.
You might have been right, but you were right for the wrong reasons, so you're still the bad people.
That's exactly it.
Yeah,
exactly
I don't accept that. I actually think there will be redemption fully one day and a recognition, but I think we're many, many years away from that. I think that the people who did it have to be sort of in the rear view mirror.
I think you're right. You have a documentary coming out on this, Generation COVID.
Yeah.
When does it come out? Do we know yet?
Back half of this year. Don't know yet. We're almost done the film. We filmed for 2 years. We've been editing. It's very exciting. It's an opportunity for people to hear directly from the children and the families who were impacted, which, you know, I think we all need to listen.
Yeah, definitely. Jennifer Tsai, thanks so much for doing this and coming on. She's a former global brand president for Levi's, but the founder and CEO of XXXY Athletics, thetruthfits.com. I even remembered it. Thetruthfits.com. It's memorable. It's a vanity
URL.
That's
the point.
You nailed
it.
There you go. Jennifer, thanks so much for coming on the program.
Thanks for having me again.
Blaze Media and Free the People have teamed up to release The Cover-Up, a docuseries. It's available now on Blaze TV. It exposes Anthony Fauci and all of his shenanigans. We talked to Matt Kibbe about it. He's the host. We talked to him about it earlier this week. I encourage you to go back and watch that interview. But it goes through all the stuff that went on with COVID and how it was covered up. Go to FauciCoverUp.com/Stu. Use the code FauciLied. Get an additional $30 off your annual subscription to Blaze TV. Again, it's FauciCoverUp.com/Stu, and the code is FauciLied. Another person who lies a lot is Hunter Biden. Those look like the prosecution's expected to rest the case now. And the next day, I know Hallie Biden was testifying today. I will say, you know, this is just sort of a side note. Hunter Biden does pretty well with the ladies. I mean, that's his wife. We just showed. She's very pretty. All the witnesses that were going up, they seem very good looking as well. I don't know. Is Hunter Biden a good looking guy? All I've ever seen him is like out of shape from his laptop. So I don't know. Maybe he's better looking in person. I'm not sure. By the way, we have a supposedly, I put major, major quotation marks around this, but a VP shortlist from Donald Trump. Now, there's no reason that Donald Trump has to tell us what his shortlist is. But this is, I guess, the people who have had documents requested of them for vetting. Some candidates got more extensive paperwork requests than others, according to Axios, which is, they say, a possible clue onto how hotly they're being considered. These are the contenders: J.D. Vance, North Dakota Governor Doug Burgumentum, Marco Rubio, Tim Scott, Ben Carson, Elise Stefanik, Byron Donalds, and Tom Cotton. Maybe the one that hasn't been talked about all that much is Tom Cotton, though. I think if you understand Trump and his relationships with a lot of these senators, Cotton is a pretty logical name to be on this list. And another guy who you think might, I mean, think about what you, we went and did a whole show on what things you should consider if you're Donald Trump. And one of them is kind of like your legacy going forward, who's going to extend your vision. I mean, Tom Cotton is in that category, as he has a somewhat similar vision with Donald Trump on that. Emerson has a new poll out, has Donald Trump leading Joe Biden 46-45. A couple months ago, it was 46-43, but it's pretty stable. No huge difference we've seen since the change. I will say this is notable as a poll as the largest RFK Jr. effect I've seen in any poll. Again, Trump is up one in the main poll. Throw in RFK Jr. and other third party people, you get 44-38 for Donald Trump. 44-38 with 6 for RFK Jr., 1 for Cornel West, 1 for Jill Stein. I mean, look, this does seem to be consistent with other polling, at least in direction. It's a bigger effect than we've seen, but RFK and other third-party candidates do seem to be hurting Joe Biden more. And that's the more realistic situation. Most of these ballots are going to have additional names on them from that list, including RFK and probably Jill Stein and maybe Cornel West. So that's significant, and it could be hurting the Biden potentially, especially in these close states, could be hurting Biden pretty significantly. I advise you to support Blaze Media. We want to set fire to the lies that the left wants you to believe. Not only will you get this show if you subscribe to Blaze TV, but you'll have access to everything we do here from our Blaze original series, Steve Baker's reporting, so much more. Go to blazetv.com and use the promo code STU. When you do, you get $20 off. blazetv.com/STU. Promo code is STU. Get $20 off your subscription today.